All right, so we're looking at Matthew chapter 6. I'd like to begin at verse 9. We've spent many weeks reviewing these warnings and the remedy to the warnings, and we'll come back to them here or there over the next weeks just as a reminder. But let's take a moment and read the prayer, okay? Jesus is teaching this lesson on prayer, and he says very explicitly, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's the first sentence. That's what we'll look at tonight. He went on, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. He goes on and he speaks about forgiving or the lack of it. We'll not read that either. So we're considering in verse 9 the very first words that Jesus uses when he starts to pray, or when he teaches us how to begin our prayers. The very first words. Now, I would remind us that these words are not random. When we pray, our beginning words probably are. They may well be. In a few moments, when we go to pray, it may well be that the first sentence we say when we pray could be almost mindless, almost random, almost rote, just kind of like the way we always do it. I'm not saying that to be critical. We really are creatures of habit. I'm not saying that to say that we shouldn't. I'm saying that to say that's not what he was doing here. This is, we have to look at this as very purposeful, because Jesus said it and because it's inscripturated. And so we know that it's exactly what God wanted it to be in every detail. And this first sentence is loaded. Jesus, another way to think of it, Jesus is not warming up here. You know, he's at the top of his game, if I can say that with reverence. He's at the top of his teaching expertise here. These words are not suggestions that we can take or leave. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. He didn't say, well, here's one way to do it. He said, this is the way to do it. After this manner, therefore, pray you. Or pray ye. No, that's not to say that we necessarily have to pray these exact English words. Obviously, this is a translation itself. But I would propose that we better not just lightly dismiss them as some sort of introduction. This is the kind of a thing that perhaps sometimes we are so very familiar with these words that we almost have to labor to plug in. It is the fact that we know it is such a compelling reality. I know that. I've heard that. We can quote it. We can say it in our sleep. We may well say it in our sleep. So why really plug in? Because if we're not careful, it's just like water off the duck's back. So here's the question. What concept? What is Jesus doing here? What is he emphasizing that he's telling us to practice as we begin our prayer? What is it that he's honing in on? What is it that he is scoping his rifle in so it's just right on target, so to speak? What is he doing before, if you use a golf metaphor, before he swings? I'm not a golfer, but you know, where you line it up and you take all this. That's what he's doing here. He's approaching God. There's something very significant, I think. What did Jesus put first when he talked about approaching God? What exactly is Jesus establishing with these chosen words? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Well, Father, we spoke about last week. You know, the whole idea of Father speaks of relationship. We must not take that for granted, but I don't want to just go through what we dealt with last week. But we recognize today as believers, as God's people, that the relationship that is embodied in this word Father is not a relationship that we were born with. We must be born again before God is our Father. And God is only the Father of someone who has come to a right relationship with His slaughtered Son. The idea of being able to have a claim on God as Father is a claim that is baseless unless the foundation is a murder, a violent, criminal, human act of injustice, gross injustice. And we come and say, that happened because of me, and I benefit from it. That's why we call Him Father. Now the word heaven, our Father which art in heaven. So we're praying, our Father, relationship, which art in heaven. Interesting. You know, this is the idea of, I like that word, transcendence. The idea that this concept transcends, is higher, is more awesome than anything else that we know on this earth, apart from Scripture. But the idea of the greatness and the glory and the majesty of God, our Father which art in heaven. We need to recognize that we are approaching a God who is totally different from everything we know. He is in heaven. He is exalted. He is awesome. He is Father. But as soon as Jesus said, when ye pray, or pray after this manner, He said, our Father, which art in heaven. So we want to be confident in that relationship of Father, but not so confident that we treat Him in a familiar way, because He's in heaven. We need both. We don't approach Him as though He is some monster. We don't approach Him as though He is impetuous, as though He could be in a bad mood. We don't approach Him in some timid way. No, we approach Him with confidence that we are doing what He tells us to do. But we approach Him as our Father, which art in heaven. But that's not all. He goes on from this relationship and transcendent concept, to saying, hallowed be Thy name. Hallowed. Hallowed, we often pronounce that third syllable. Hallowed, it speaks of holiness. It speaks of sinlessness. There's a real sense, biblically, that a Christian is sanctified. There's a certain sense in which we already are sanctified. Of course, there's a sense that we ultimately will be sanctified when we're glorified. There's a sense that we are progressively being sanctified. But there is a sense, as I mentioned on Sunday, that the Scripture says where we are sanctified. But we are not sinless. And we know nothing of any area of our life that has not been touched by sin, tainted by sin, twisted by sin. We see everything through eyes that know only sin and know nothing of no sin. Hallowed be Thy name. No sin. Sinless. No stain. No twisting, no skewing. There's nothing out of whack. Hallowed. Hallowed be Thy name is the idea of the absence of weakness. The absence of any vulnerability. I need to think about this. I mean, when we pray, if we're not careful, we can project our weakness on God. Do you know what I mean by that? Where we're so overwhelmed with something that is too big for us, that somehow we project our inability on Him. We somehow lose confidence, or somehow we are somewhat unstable, or somehow insecure. We are worried. We are fearful. We are nervous. We allow our insecurity and nervousness to hold greater control and influence in our thoughts and our hearts than the fact that God has no weakness. We can project that on Him, and somehow, instead of being comforted by His blessing and His power and the fact that He is holy, hallowed, we can come to Him and talk to Him just like we would talk to everybody else. We should not. We're not talking to everybody else. We can speak to each other and we can say, well, you know how it is. Yeah, we're tempted. I know you shouldn't worry, but I know I really shouldn't be afraid, but I know that I should forgive this person, but see, that doesn't fly with God. Hallowed be thy name. He knows nothing of that. He is without sin, without that weakness, without vulnerability. He is, when we say hallowed be thy name, He is the presence of absolute perfection. Absolute perfection. So when we go to prayer, we have to remember to whom we speak. We must remember that we are going to... I posted something on Facebook the other day, something about... I forget exactly. I think it was Sunday. But anyway, there was a phrase in the psalm that said that God is my rock. And Scripture uses that in numbers of places. I was going to say that God is like the rock of Gibraltar. That's a picture of stability, stable. Jesus told the story, used it in Vacation Bible School, the man that, you know, built his house on... Well, I guess we didn't use this in this video, but built his house on sand, built his house on a rock. You feel what you're standing on. You think, wow, this foundation is holding this building. You know, you look and you see huge trees that you see get blown over with a hurricane with you know, root balls as, you know, 8-10 feet tall. And this building stands because of this rock that it's on. This rock is nothing compared to God. But if we're not careful, when we pray, we can just talk to God, forgetting who we're talking about or who we're talking to. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I have to change the way I think because I'm talking to somebody that doesn't think like me. I have to change the way I talk because I'm talking to someone that doesn't talk like I talk, doesn't feel like I feel. Does he understand? Yes, he understands our weaknesses. Yes. But if I don't remember who he is, but my prayer isn't going to help, that's worship. It's worship when I consciously remember, hallowed be thy name. This is what is so dreadfully terrible about, you know, the idea of God being treated so lightly. Well, he's my Father, you know, you can just approach him anytime, anywhere, anyway, anyhow. And there's a sense in which that's true, but there's a sense in which, if we're not careful, we violate the fact of his holiness. And pretty soon, God becomes like a rabbit foot or a good luck charm or a genie in a bottle, and we just throw our requests at him. And, you know, it's like, okay, I said the prayer, put in my coins, pull the lever, out comes the Coke. No. Hallowed be thy name. Jesus is prioritizing at the very beginning of this model prayer that we must remember who it is whom we are addressing. Not one request, not one confession of sin, not one need. He hasn't said anything about anyone else. He just simply says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, God's name is holy. God is holy. God's character is holy. So what does this mean? The idea is that I, as I pray, am hallowing God in my thinking. Peter talks about sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Don't allow God and who God is to be dragged down, dumbed down, but rather lift yourself, so to speak, through the words of God to who He is. There's a lot of scriptures that remind us of these truths. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I think I'll just read them for time's sake. Habakkuk. Here's a good one. 1:13 says this of God. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. That deserves our meditation. Psalm 5:5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. And we read a verse like that, and we say, thank God I'm not any longer a worker of iniquity. Amen. Yeah. Listen to this in Hebrews 12. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Many verses speak about God as a fire. Exodus 24:17. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. That's the one to whom we speak. That's the one. This one that was so terrifying that Israel said to Moses, you talk to him. We don't even want to come close to the mountain. He is our Father. But hallowed be thy name too. We're speaking to the thrice holy God. Where Old Testament believers perhaps could become overwhelmed by the greatness and the glory of God, we can be tempted to be underwhelmed by Him. He's not impressed. Deuteronomy 4:24, the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. Deuteronomy 9:3, understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is He which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, He shall bring them down before thy face. Psalm 97:3, a fire goeth before Him and burneth up His enemies round about. Wow. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before Him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about Him. Psalm 50:3. Isn't it possible sometimes to forget these things? And somehow it's almost like, God, you have to do something. Look what's happening. Did you hear what's going on in Washington? Did you hear about how they're making this decision that you can change your birth certificate? You hear about that? Your gender? More than once. Change your mind. I mean, one of the most essential, fundamental identifiers of God's creative design. And it's just, God, what are you going to do? I get these emails. I get these mailings. I get these Christian people and organizations that just are pleading with me, you have to do this, Pastor. I mean, I get phone calls. You have to rally your people. We have to vote into a different governor. We have to. And I say, we don't have to. We have to build the local church. We have to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to stand for the truth. If America goes down, it is irrelevant. If we don't preach the gospel, that's not irrelevant. America's not in the Bible. I'm for it. I'm for America. I'm for voting. I didn't mean to get off on this. I'm just simply saying that when we read the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God, we need to be careful that we don't go to God and say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay, that's over and done. God, you know, we got this problem, this problem, this problem. These are not problems to God. These are not challenges to God. God is right on target. He is ruling. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is our Father in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. We need to be careful we don't impugn Him with our perceptions that are not framed by Scripture. Isaiah 66:15 says, "Behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with His chariots like a whirlwind, to render His anger with fury and His rebuke with flames of fire." You say, well, a lot of that's in the Old Testament. Okay, how about 2 Thessalonians 1:8? "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Hebrews again says, "A certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries." I am for being salt and light. I am not for being frantic. Prayer should change that. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." When we pray, we remember the one to whom we speak. We address the Creator, the Redeemer, the Savior, the Lord. Everything's okay in heaven. And on this planet, everything's not. And it's probably the mercy of God that we don't know how bad it is, could we say. One day He's going to set it right. And until that day, may God help us to learn to pray and to speak to the one of whom Jesus spoke when He said, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Let's pray. Father.